So we are in this series of kingdom living, and I've really enjoyed this series so far. It's been really cool just to study the words of Jesus as he preached the sermon of all sermons, is kind of what I call it, the Sermon on the Mount. He preached, the preacher of all preachers preached the sermon of all sermons. And it's been really fun to kind of just study his words together. And so we're going to be, I want to take us into Matthew 6, and we're going to read a couple chunks of Matthew 6 today, part of his sermon. And so turn with me in your Bible or read it on the screen. Matthew 6, we're going to read verse 1 through 6 to start. It says, "Watch out, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." So in these next 9 verses, then Jesus goes on to show us this beautiful example of prayer. We know and love this prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, of course. And it's this beautiful blueprint for us to imitate as we pray. Actually, Pastor Derek is going to be preaching here next Sunday, and he's going to be talking specifically about prayer and specifically about the Lord's Prayer. And so we arm wrestled, and he won, so he got to preach about the Lord's Prayer. I'm joking, but I am looking forward to hearing that. And I think what I'll do is I'm going to skip 9 verses down to verse 16 in light of that, because he's going to cover that next week. It kind of continues. Jesus continues with this same thought. He goes on to talk about how to pray, but it's this same kind of thought of giving in private. The Father sees you, will reward you, and praying in private. The Father who sees you will reward you. And he gives another example in verse 16. "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, and then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." So Jesus is giving some very specific and practical, just kind of do's and don'ts about these sort of 3 examples, these 3 spiritual disciplines in our relationship with God. Right? He's giving these examples of giving, right, where we love others with our acts of charity. He's giving the example of prayer, you know, our communion with God, our fellowship with Father. And he's also giving this example of fasting, where we focus on feeding our souls and not just our bodies, right? And so he's saying, in all of these things, don't be like the hypocrites. And what he's saying there, he's actually addressing, he would kind of use hypocrites and Pharisees, they were almost interchangeable terms. And so he was actually calling out the Pharisees once again for their hypocrisy. Their lifestyle and their heart condition didn't match the teachings. They were considered rabbis by many. They were the ones that were supposed to be teachers of the law, and yet they weren't living out their own teachings. Their heart condition didn't match their teaching. They would give, they would pray, they would fast, but Jesus knew that their heart condition, they had actually made spirituality more about themselves than about God. They had made it more about themselves than about God. It was all a show. And that's what hypocrite actually means. It means to be an actor. And so they were kind of acting out what it looks like, what it means to be a Christian, but it was a show and it wasn't real. In Matthew 23:1-7, Jesus talks about that very thought again. "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. So the problem, again, like I said last week, the problem was not the law. The problem was how they were practicing the law or not practicing the law, right, in their private lives. Verse 4, they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels, and they love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in marketplaces and to be called rabbi. So their spirituality, it was just a show, right? It was actors playing a part, and it was meant to just impress other people, to win their affection, to win their attention, and to bring that attention on themselves. Like, look at me, look how good I am, right? And to kind of probably even deflect attention on how not good their hearts actually were. Jesus knew that their hearts were actually underneath this whole facade, their hearts were actually rotten, and they had made it about themselves, and it wasn't a real connection with God. And so Jesus is taking these three kind of very well-known spiritual disciplines that everybody in the room and everybody in that place that he was teaching would have known exactly what he was talking about. So he takes these three examples of giving, prayer, and fasting, core disciplines that we have in our Christian walk, and he's using them as examples to challenge our spiritual motives, to challenge our spiritual motives and to call us out of a hypocritical lifestyle. He's saying this, he's saying true spirituality has to be more than what anyone else can see. True spirituality has to be more than what others can see. It has to be about what only God can see. That's the starting point. It has to be more. It can't be about my ego. It can't be about other people's approval. It can't be about that, right? If you're doing this for you, Jesus is saying, if you're doing this for you or for others, you've completely missed it, and it doesn't mean anything to God. Isn't that kind of a sobering truth? If we're doing this for us or for anyone else, any other people, it doesn't mean anything to God. Our spirituality means nothing to him if he's not at the center. So we got to ask ourselves, what are my motives in faith, in my walk with God? What are my motives? What are my motives for following Jesus? And a good question to ask ourselves is, have I somehow made it about myself? Or do I sometimes make it about preserving my image? Is that actually a motivator or what drives me? And I know it's real, right? In even in the Mennonite culture and many cultures, right? It's not just us as Mennonites, it's others too, but it's a real thing, right? To preserve our image, you know, as godly people. We're Bible Belt people. We're godly people who love the Lord, right? And how many times am I not guilty of that too? Where I'm worried about my image. And that can sneak in as a motivator for my spirituality, and that's so dangerous. That's what Jesus is saying. If our motives are self-centered, if we've made it about our image or looking super spiritual to impress other people or win their respect and their admiration, we've missed it. And of course, this principle of hypocrisy, it's not just reserved to this, right? It's a principle for our lives. Does our life, does our character, our heart, you know, that inner place, the way that we think and act, does that match our message? Does that match what Jesus calls us to? Do our words match our actions, right? And so I think we have so much to learn in that, right? And for the Pharisees, it was specific to this, and I think it relates to us too, but it's a principle, right? You see it. It's this principle of walking the walk, right? To truly walk it out. He's saying if the extent of your spirituality is about yourself or about others, then you're living for an earthly reward. That's what I see when I see this scripture. If you look back at verse 5, the end of verse 5, I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. When you go and pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father in private, then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. That's what it's about, right? It's saying, look at this earthly reward. That's what these Pharisees are living for. Don't live like them. Don't live like these hypocrites who live for an earthly reward, this admiration of other people. Don't settle for that reward. Man, I don't want to settle for that reward, right? Like, it pales in comparison to the Father's reward, of course, but we can't forget, right? We can't forget, like, what a terrible compromise, you know, to be happy with any kind of reward that we might receive from people, any admiration we might receive. What a terrible thing to compromise the Father's reward for us. Like it doesn't even compare. And so it's a terrible trade-off. and so we have to remember that, right? Like that's not my motivation. When I look at my life, I need to ask myself, which reward am I after? Which reward am I after? Which reward motivates me? And of course, we're called to be humble people who are motivated by God's reward. So how do we pursue this reward? And I think we see that as well. How do we receive this reward? We see that in verse 6 as well. When you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. And I underlined in private. And then it says, then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And each of these examples of giving and prayer and fasting, it makes it very clear there's an emphasis on private versus public. And so what that shows us and what that makes very clear to us is that the Father's reward comes in the secret place. The Father's reward comes in the secret place. I believe that's at the heart of what Jesus is trying to tell us in this scripture. Don't be like the hypocrites who are looking for that earthly reward in any way. Don't be like them. Be instead someone who looks only for the Father's reward by emphasizing the secret place in your life. It should be bigger, right? The private place, the secret place should be a bigger part of our lives. That place of true personal connection with God, it should be a priority. It should be the foundation. It's where authentic spirituality flows from. It's the beginning of all of that. And so we need to prioritize this secret place. I was thinking this week, as I was preparing for this, asking this question, and I want you to just kind of answer it for yourself. What is your secret place? Like, you know, that place that you retreat to meet with God. And maybe you have a specific place, maybe you don't. But I think it's important that we all establish a place that we retreat with God. And of course, it doesn't always have to be the same, and it can change in seasons. But having a place that we establish, this is my meeting place with God. This is my meeting time with God. I think it's so important. For me, my secret place before the reno, I guess, was always just in the auditorium. I had the whole auditorium as my secret place. It was so special, right? And now in this season, it's either my sofa if the kids are still in bed, or my office where I can close the door and put my headphones on and just be with God in my secret place. Of course, it's not just, I'm not talking about, you know, you literally have to have a prayer closet. Some people do, and that's cool. Like they'll actually build like a prayer closet in their house. Like, I mean, awesome, that's great. But it doesn't literally have to be a prayer closet, and it doesn't literally have to be a place that nobody knows about, right? You understand what I'm saying, the secret place. That place where you meet with God, where you retreat from the world, you remove yourself from the rest of the world, and you give God your full attention. Where's your secret place? Maybe for you, it's your backyard. Maybe for you, it's when you go for walks by yourself, or maybe it's on your sofa when the kids are sleeping, or maybe it's in your pantry when the kids aren't sleeping and you're hiding away and you need some time. I mean, snacks and Jesus time go well together. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that word is a trigger word, clearly. Yeah, my kids too, the S word. We need a place to retreat with him, right? And so this I think is such a beautiful thing. It facilitates that beautiful connection, that intimacy with God. And it's so meaningful. You know, many of you can relate to this. Maybe it's just a reminder. Maybe it's just an encouragement for what you're already doing. But you remember, right? You know that I'm not exaggerating when I say that this should be the foundation for our lives. The secret place should be the foundation for our lives. Like I said, our spirituality, our relationship with God, it starts from that place, and everything else flows from that. Everything else flows from that. That place where we seek him personally. Like I said, it should be the primary platform, right? The place we spend the most time growing spiritually, right? It takes a bigger place in our life than even coming to church or other ways that we might grow spiritually. Those are all good things, but this takes a primary platform in our faith journey. And I love Jesus' example, right? If you've read the Gospels, you know Jesus' example. And I want to show us again, Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What's your solitary place? What's your lonely place? Because just like Jesus, we need to withdraw and connect to our source. That's where we connect to our source, right? And Jesus, for him, it was a primary in his life. And by doing that, he's showing us, right, that this is what it looks like to seek the Father's reward. We want to be people that seek only the Father's reward, and we do this by emphasizing the secret place in our life. That's what sets us up for the Father's reward. I want to talk about just a few of the things that are part of the Father's reward in the secret place. There's many, but I want to talk about just a few things that we receive from the Father when we prioritize our personal connection with him. First of all, in the secret place, that's where I receive God's validation. Validation, it's defined as recognition or affirmation that a person is valid or worthwhile. How many of us need validation in our lives? We need validation. We all need validation. And the honest truth is, and you've probably seen this in your own life at some point, I know I have in mine, if I don't find my validation in the secret place straight from God's heart to mine, if I don't find it there, I'm going to look for my validation from other people or things in life. You know, I'm going to look way too much, you know, like a peacock when they spread their feathers and it's like, wow, look at me. You know, and they do that for all kinds of different reasons, and it's obviously some of it's weird and not related, but then other parts, it's like, man, they're trying to show off. That's what they're doing. And they're trying to win the hearts of other peacocks, you know what I mean? And so sometimes, you know, I look a little too much like a peacock when I look for validation from other people. When I don't receive that validation from God, I can sometimes be that person who looks for it in other people, from other people, or maybe things that I'm trying to accomplish. If I don't understand, if we don't understand that we are loved and accepted and valuable to God, like if we're not starting in that place, if we're not doing life from that place of understanding, that we are loved, we are valuable to the Father, if we're not starting there, we will always be looking for validation from other people. We need to have that understanding deep within us, right? That we are chosen and called and equipped and loved by God. When we look for validation in other people, I think it can so easily take us into very unhealthy places, right? So it's so important. And I think it comes when we connect with him personally in the secret place. When I give my Father the time of day to download his love straight from his heart to mine, that's so powerful. It's so powerful, right? To just give him the time to say, I love you. I'm pleased with you. I delight in you. For some of us, that's the sermon that we need today. Just the Father's heart for you. I love you. I accept you. I'm pleased with you. I delight in you. We need that, right? On a daily basis, on a personal basis, we need to understand that just this sense of deep understanding that we are loved and accepted and validated by him. Just a couple verses that I love to remind myself of as truth that the Father delights in me. Psalm 147:11, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. This was true back then when David wrote this, and it's true now for us, for you, for me, right? When you put your hope in his unfailing love, he delights in you. Psalm 149:4, for the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Takes delight in us. I also love reminding myself of Ephesians 1:4-5, even before he made the world. Like if you just let that sink in for a second, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. He decided in advance. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I love that scripture, and I know I put it in my sermons often, but man, that's powerful. To have a deep understanding of this truth, that it's what he wanted to do. Nobody had to convince him to do it. It's what he wanted to do. He wanted to love us and bring us into his own family. It gave him great pleasure. What a powerful thing for us to come from that place of in the secret, having him download that from his heart to ours, and then to go into our day with that understanding and that validation, right? That he loves us and that we bring him pleasure. What a thing, what a powerful thing to know that. I think it's so powerful, right? To have that personal revelation that we are loved, that we matter, that we're part of God's story. And we just let him fill us with that each day. And I think it really brings such a confidence when we do this. You know, some of us, it's a big hurdle in life to feel confident in our journey, whatever that looks like. This brings confidence. Validation from God brings such a confidence. And it makes us such a different person. We're not constantly striving for people to notice us and trying to get their attention and look at me and finding validation from other people, right? We're not like those peacocks. We are just confident in God's, our identity as sons and daughters in him. And you know, it makes us a joy to be around when we walk in that confidence, right? Makes us a joy to be around. How many know? Of course, right? It's so amazing to be around confident people who are just so rock solid in their understanding of God's love for them. Changes you, right? And it's so amazing to be around people like that. And so we wanna walk in that, and that's just one of the amazing things that happen when we prioritize the secret place. And so it's in his presence we find his validation. And I want to encourage you, if you're, finding yourself, and we can examine ourselves, and if we find ourselves in a place where we're looking for validation from other people, I want to encourage you, ask God. Take time in that quiet time with the Lord and ask him this question. Ask him this question. God, how do you feel about me? How do you feel about me? Show me in your word. Just give me an impression. Like, how do you feel about me? And that is so powerful to hear his voice, to see in his word how he feels about you, and to make it personal. Like, yeah, he loves the whole world that he sent his son. Yeah, it's cool as a general. Like, yeah, it's great. He loves everyone. But when it gets personal, and he gives that to me in a time when I'm just connecting with him one-on-one, it's just me and him, and he says, Brad, that's for you today. Wow, right? God, that's how you feel about me. The second thing that I want to talk about that happens in the secret place is that I receive God's empowerment. This is so powerful to spend time in the secret place and invest time in his presence because that's so often where he brings guidance and direction in our lives. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. So we got to get in the word, right? And I think we need so much more than just a Sunday morning. We got to get in the word. We got to be students of the word and take the time to study it because it sheds light on our path. And without it, we are floundering in the dark in life. We got to be students of his word. And that's part of the secret place. We need the personal revelation of his word. It brings guidance. And I think it also brings guidance. He brings guidance and empowerment when we ask him for it. I love David's example of prayer in Psalm 25, 4 to 10. Show me, 4 and 5. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. What an amazing prayer to pray, right? Show me the right path, Lord. And I think it's so powerful when we ask him in the secret place, I think he responds. I think he wants to lead us, right? So we need to meditate on his word. We need to ask for his guidance. And then listen, like I said, he still speaks today. He's a speaking God. And so we gotta be open to what he wants to say, how he wants to bring a rhema, a specific word in season for our season, how he wants to highlight a scripture for us for our day, right? Those kinds of rhemas where it's specific and personal. But he also speaks, I believe, through impressions and how he can give us a picture or a thought from him. And so we want to be open to that. I want to encourage us just with these basic encouragements, this simple reminder. We got to be students of his word. We got to study. We got to pray. We got to listen to what he has to say. Take the time to just be quiet and listen and journal our conversations with God. I think it's so powerful to journal. I have so much learning to do in the area of journaling, but I do find it so helpful. It helps me keep my focus on what I'm doing with God in that moment. Right? We want to give God our eye contact. right? For at least part of every day, we want to give God our undivided attention. Because it's like in parenting, right? When you're trying to tell your kids something very important, you're going to kind of stop them from whatever they're doing and make them pause and maybe even just kind of say, look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. I want to see your eyes. I want to see that you're understanding, you're hearing my voice. And I think it's the same way. We want to give God our eyes and give him our attention, our eye contact each day, right? Take the time to close the door. I find in my life, it's in those times, you know, when I've soaked in God's presence in the secret place, that's when I'm empowered to move forward. That's when I'm empowered to move forward to whatever he calls me to do. So often, those are the times where I find clarity for a decision that I need to make, or strength for a difficult thing that I need to do, or peace when my soul is troubled, or perspective when I need a perspective shift and I need to see things God's way, right? It happens in the secret place. So if we need empowerment, if you look at your life and you recognize your need for empowerment, and I bet you will, because we all do, give God your eyes. Give God your full attention, and I believe he will reward you with his empowerment. Thirdly, in the secret place, that's where I receive God's protection. I love Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 in the New King James. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. David's writing this psalm, and he had a very real enemy that he needed protection from. And the same is true today for us, right? We have a very real enemy who would love to sabotage our lives, who would love to cause us to walk in sin, or I mean to tempt us to walk in sin, and to fall into his traps and all of that. And this is such a beautiful scripture, because it makes it clear that it's in the secret place that we receive God's protection. It's in his presence, right? That we are protected from the traps of the enemy, protected from the lure of immorality and sin. And I think it keeps us from it keeps us safe from walking in hypocrisy, because we're living a real, authentic life with God, right? That's more than a show. So that's what happens in the secret place. That's the protection that we receive. And the way I wrote it in my notes was that under the shadow of the Almighty is the best place to be. If you're taking notes, write that down. Under the shadow of the Almighty is the best place to be. If we need protection from the enemy's schemes, and I know we all do, I want to encourage us, run to the secret place. The Father will reward us with his protection. These are just a few of the rewards that we are blessed with in the secret place. And I wanna add, as I close, I wanna add an important thought. You know, I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the secret place this morning. But of course, Jesus isn't saying that we should only pray in the secret place. Again, it's not literally talking about, you know, that's the only place you should ever pray. You should never pray in public. Of course, that's not what he's saying, right? He's not addressing the where. He's addressing the how and the why. That's what he's saying when he's giving us this teaching. And so even though I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the secret place, I just want to balance that out and remind us that, of course, this is just part of our prayer life, right? And of course, this is just meant to be kind of a starting point, of a foundation of a walk with God where we pray without ceasing, right? Where God is part of our internal conversation throughout the day. And so the secret place, it's so important, but it's the foundation that's meant to be a starting point full of a day full of prayer, unceasing prayer. So Maybe for you, maybe you struggle with the secret place. And there can be a variety of reasons that we might struggle with the secret place. Maybe we struggle to make time in our day and in all the things that are going on. Maybe we struggle to make time. I want to encourage you with this thought from a book that has stuck with me for many years, that I'm too busy not to pray. I'm too busy not to pray. It's the starting point of where everything else should flow from. And without it, I feel so empty so quickly. And so we got to take the time and even schedule it if needed. I want to encourage you, schedule it if needed. I've sometimes done that where I'll just, in a busy season, I'll put it in my phone. It'll be a reminder among all the other reminders. It'll be right there, coffee with Jesus. You know, I gotta make time. Like there's no reason not to, because it's from that place that everything else flows. I can sometimes, it's helpful to commit to the same time every day. But I want to encourage us, whatever that looks like, to make the time. Or maybe you struggle with not being sure what to do or how to do it. And maybe you've kind of had the same sort of devotional pattern for many, many years, or, you know, it's just kind of the same thing for many years. Maybe all you've done is just read a chapter and then list your requests, and of course there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe you want to add, you know, another element of listening prayer and just spend time in hearing God, asking him to highlight a scripture for you personally. I think that's so powerful to kind of change things up and try new things, and I think God meets us in that. I want to give you just a very practical tool, or a couple of tools in the back on the table for you to take when you go. I just have a couple of very practical kind of tools for the secret place. One of them is a prayer focus, and it's just kind of it's a prayer that walks you through a whole bunch of different topics, and the intention is not to tell you exactly how to pray, but to maybe give you ideas or things like you can kind of springboard off of in your prayer with God. I know I often use it, and it's really just a really cool thing, and it just gets my mind and my heart kind of thinking about different parts and different things that I can pray for. And so I have it there for you if you'd like to just take one home and just use that as part of your devotion time. I also have another thing. It's just a devotional tool called SMORP. It's one of those acronyms, and it just is an acronym for Scripture, Message, Obedience, Repentance, and Prayer. And it just kind of walks you through, maybe for you, just a slightly different kind of way of doing those different elements. And so just want to encourage you, and also give us something that we can take home and actually apply this to our lives. Good? Awesome. Amen. Right on. Stand with me as I close in prayer. Father, thank you that you meet us in the secret place. And Lord, we just say we're sorry for the times that we've just thought that our the other things in our day were more important somehow. God, we want to make time. And God, we want to most importantly connect with you, whatever that looks like. We recognize our need to connect with your heart. So Father, help us, Lord, to have a desire. Help us, Lord, to be like a deer that pants for water. So my soul longs for you. God, we want to long for you. And if we're not in that place of longing for you, desperate for you, God, I ask that you would give us this sense of longing and desperation. We need your presence. We need your touch. We need the secret place. God, we know that it has to be so much more than what others can see. We know that it has to be so much more than looking for, God, approval from others. We want to be connected to you in authentic, authentic connection and relationship. We know that that's what pleases you. We know that that's where it starts. And so we ask, God, that you would give us the grace to walk in this way. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.